This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate Ag Committee will come to order. Secretary, call the roll.
Bradford, Garnos, Hansen, Klochek,
here.
Maher,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Valley,
here.
Howie,
here.
Roden,
here. Quorum is present. You have a copy of the minutes. Is there any comments, corrections, or action? Motion to approve the minutes by Senator Howie. Second by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Just a couple of reminders before we get started. If you want to testify today, we have a sign-up sheet at the door. We'd ask that you sign in. Also, we are live via the Internet, so all comments, questions, and testimony we would ask that you give in front of a live mic. Also, if you're here representing yourself, you have no need to be registered with the Secretary of State's office. However, if you are here representing an organization or group, you are required to be registered with the Secretary of State and carry proper credentials. We are going to adjust the calendar a little bit today. Senator Olson is chairing local government and asked that 11:04 be moved to the top of the calendar. So if there are no other announcements, we will go to today's calendar and take up House Bill 1104, an act to authorize a sentencing court to impose consecutive revocations of hunting, fishing, or trapping privileges under certain circumstances. House Bill 1104 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you in advance for accommodating me and allowing me to jump in line here. Russell Olson, District 8, representing Moody, Minor, Sanborn, and Lake County. So in my job, I have the pleasure of traveling around the country on occasion, and when you tell somebody that you're from South Dakota, absent the Sturgis Rally, the first thing that most people say is, oh, I've been there pheasant hunting, or I've been out there hunting. I love antelope hunting out in South Dakota, and I love coming out to South Dakota to shoot geese or to go fishing on the Missouri River. So, you know, we're blessed with a great reputation as an opportunity for sportsmen to come to our state that aren't already residents here and take advantage of the opportunities that we have as a state. Part of our heritage, you know, that my dad passed on to me and I hope to pass on to my children and already have started to do that, is ethical hunting rights and you know, getting permission, and you know, if it says that you can only catch a walleye that's 14 inches, keeping the walleye that's 14 inches, not the 13 3/4 stretcher and those type of things. And House Bill 1104 is to me an answer that helps sportsmen and to advocate sportsmen's rights in South Dakota. We all know how to play by the rules. This body is, from a close observation or a quick observation, filled with sportsmen. So we all know the rules and we uphold those rules. Unfortunately, there's a select few people in our state or that travel to our state that don't play by the rules. And House Bill 1104 is going to, if you pass it out of here, which I hope you do, it would allow the sentencing court to allow for additional consecutive revocation of license terms. So the quick and dirty of this is, if I'm out in the Black Hills or if somebody shoots three elk, right now in South Dakota, you only lose your license for 1 year. To me, the sentencing court should have the opportunity, on behalf of the rest of us that are sportsmen, to take away that privilege for more than 1 year. Currently, and some of the other proponents of this bill are going to explain in greater detail a Supreme Court case that actually brings this out, where an individual shot more than one, was trespassing, committing multiple offenses, and they could only take away his license for 1 year. And I think that 1104 will help to reinstate or reaffirm the integrity and ethics that most of us as sportsmen uphold in this state, and I would urge you to support House Bill 1104.
Thank you. Thank you. Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Emmett Kieser. I'm the Assistant Director of the Division of Wildlife at Game Fish and Parks. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today and advocate for House Bill 1104 as well. As Senator Olson mentioned, South Dakota has a rich heritage in outdoor sports, especially hunting and fishing, and our residents probably have some of the best opportunities in the country, and indeed we host many, many non-residents in our state annually each year to enjoy the opportunities that we have available in our state. As Senator Olson mentioned, there are a few situations where we have individuals who just don't want to play by the rules, and we're certainly not talking about people who make errors in judgment, small errors and violations. We're talking about today people who flagrantly and willfully choose to violate the law. This past year, we had a Supreme Court decision that essentially clarified the existing statutes. We certainly have a number of statutes that are on the books that were passed by previous legislatures that address the issue of revocations and gave the courts the legal authority and opportunity to provide for revocations of hunting, fishing, and trapping privileges for individuals who violate certain statutes. Among those would be things like gross over limit violations, spotlighting big game at night, or knowingly trespassing on private land. In other words, those who elect to make poor choices about how they go about their hunting could find themselves sitting on the sidelines. There's one thing that I think sportsmen and landowners and even lawbreakers alike understand is that revocations of privileges provide perhaps some of the best deterrence to violators that we have on available. House Bill 1104 is brought to you as an effort to grant additional latitude to the judges in South Dakota to provide the opportunity for them to issue consecutive revocations of hunting, fishing, or trapping privileges in those rare situations where an individual is convicted of multiple violations. Again, just to be clear, we're not talking about individuals who accidentally violate the law or maybe suffer from some simple misinterpretation of an existing statute or regulation. This law would give judges the ability and the discretion to impose consecutive revocations of privileges for those few bad actors who make those conscious decisions to break the law. And unfortunately, there are just a few folks out there who just don't seem to get it, and this bill would allow judges the latitude to invoke those consecutive privileges. This bill in no way mandates or requires judges to hand down consecutive revocations of privileges. It simply gives them the discretion in those cases that they feel are particularly egregious to invoke those consecutive revocations. At times, there are just some situations where an individual has chosen to violate multiple laws, and the fact is a one-year revocation just doesn't seem to fit the nature of the crime in some of those situations. For many years, judges believed that they had the authority to issue revocations of hunting, fishing, and trapping privileges consecutively. This past year, however, a Supreme Court decision case was State versus Kramer, provided that the opportunity for the Supreme Court to clarify the existing law. And what they said was the existing law was not clear enough on this issue, and therefore they found that the judges did not, in fact, have that ability to issue consecutive revocations. This bill would clarify that and afford judges the opportunity to impose harsher sentences in those circumstances where there are multiple violations that they would want to address. In other words, the bill merely gives judges the latitude to exercise appropriate judicial discretion where merited. Again, it doesn't require that they invoke those harsher penalties. Those harsher penalties, the revocation penalties, are on the books already. We think this bill is an important tool for judges to have available to them. More importantly, the bill, I think, represents the opportunity to send a very clear message to those who choose to willfully and flagrantly violate the law that they're simply not welcome in South Dakota. With that, Mr. Chairman, I urge your support of the bill, and we will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Brian Gosch, Representative District 32. I don't want to talk about anything they've already talked about, but just wanted to add that currently judges already impose consecutive sentences for other types of crimes. For example, if somebody kills three people, they can impose consecutive sentences for prison terms, and there's a statute that allows that. And circuit judges have been imposing consecutive revocations of hunting privileges under that statute previously, and they always believe they had the right to do so, until the case of State versus Kramer, when the Supreme Court said they technically did not. And so this bill would fix that, in that it would allow consecutive revocations of hunting privileges in those cases where it's warranted, where there's, you know, somewhat egregious violations on your land, for example. Could be an out-of-state hunter or whomever, but that's what this bill would do. It would make it clear that the circuit court judge does have that right to impose the consecutive revocation. It wouldn't be mandatory, but it would be within their discretion to do so when it's particularly egregious.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, opponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1104? Seeing none, we will go to questions from the committee. Any questions? Comments or action?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Valley.
Move to pass.
Motion to pass by Senator Valley, second by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Any comments? Fair enough. The motion then is due pass, Senate Bill 1104. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnos.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klochek.
No.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howey.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 8 ayes, 1 nay.
Motion carries. House Bill 1104 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Before we take up the next bill, I got a couple announcements. Our pages today, we have the privilege of having the two most talented pages in all of Peer with us today, Audrey Hewitt from Nisland, South Dakota, and Lauren Albers from New Underwood. Thanks for helping us out. Also, I see we had the privilege just coming in the room. I believe the Madison fourth graders are at the Capitol. Is that right? Would you guys all stand up, all the Madison fourth graders? Thank you for coming today. And do we have, you guys can sit down. Also, Marletta Ike, thanks. Marletta Ike is their teacher, Marletta, who also has the privilege of being my sister-in-law. No, I'm the privileged one. Highmore, does Highmore have your high school here? Is that right? Please stand. Thanks for joining us. It's good to have a crowd at the Ag Committee. Usually we're pretty lonely over here. We will go now to House Bill 1093, an act to revise the boundaries of the James River Water Development District. House Bill 1093 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Senator Corey Brown, and I represent District 23. If I would have known our little legislators were here, I probably would have let them come up to pitch this bill. It's...
Pressure's on, Senator.
Yes, I see that. This bill is brought forth based on action that was taken last year when the James River Water Development District was established. One of the counties that was put into that legislation was Edmonds County, which I happen to represent in my district. It was not the desire of Edmonds County to be included as part of that water district. So this bill is an effort to clean up that legislation and remove Edmonds from that bill. The county commissioners in Edmonds have issued a resolution, a 5-0 resolution, that they desire to be removed from this, which is part of the statute that allows them to have themselves removed after this was created. With that, I'll probably turn it over to Bob Wilcox, and I'll stand over or stand by for any questions that you might have for me.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I am Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association, and I am the cause of this problem and the reason we are here today. As Senator Brown had indicated, last year when Representative Hargens introduced this piece of legislation to expand the boundaries of the James River Water District, there were a number of counties that were going to be affected. And we got together with Representative Hargens and decided we better contact each and every one of the counties to see if they wishes to participate or not. On February 5th of 2008, Edmonds County actually sent me an email indicating the fact that they did not desire to participate in the water district. I efficiently stuffed that in my briefcase, and that's where it stayed. And as we went through the process, the bill was well on its way through the process and about for completion when I discovered the email and the mistake that had happened. I went to Representative Hargens, and I said, sir, we need to correct this error. And we both agreed at that time that the bill was too far along and it'd be much simpler to come back in the 2009 legislative session and remove Edmonds County. Up to this point in time, the new boundaries went into effect January 1st of 2009, so Edmonds County has been in this James River Water District for 1 month and I believe 20 days. There has not been a financial impact, I might add, because on the House side there was a question, do we need an emergency clause on this bill? And the answer is no, because up to this point in time there has been no financial impact upon the county. And if the bill is signed on July 1st, that gives it adequate time to work through the process, and they will not incur any financial impact. So with that, we're here today to ask for your support in helping us fix an error that was created by us last year. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to House Bill 1093? Seeing none, we will go to questions from the committee. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Howey.
If I might, just a question for the audience. I'm wondering if Lily Monroe is here. Lily, do you think I should vote for this bill?
No.
Okay.
any other questions? Seeing none, we will go to comments and or action. Senator Hansen. Motion do pass by Senator Hansen, second by Senator Bradford. Comments on that motion?
I remember the bill from last year, and of course Edmonds County is right next door to my home county, so I'm pretty familiar with this part of the geography of the state, and I think that the testimony so far pretty well explains it, so it's a good bill.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is do pass House Bill 1193. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Arnos.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howey.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 9 ayes, 0 nays.
Motion carries. House Bill 1193 receives a due pass recommendation. Further action.
Move.
Senator Peterson.
Move consent.
Motion consent by Senator Peterson, second by Senator Howey. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1193 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. I'm curious, for the Madison fourth graders who, for the most part, know more about the legislative process than a lot of the legislators, do you guys, when you do your process, do you put anything on consent, or do you know what consent, the consent calendar is? Okay, well, I thought that might be a new wrinkle. Up here, if we have a bill like what we just heard that's kind of a no-brainer and there's no opposing testimony and nobody in the committee opposes it and it's a real simple bill, we'll put it on consent calendar, and then when it goes down on the floor, they lump all the consent calendar bills together, so we only have to take one vote. And they don't allow debate on consent calendar items. You just can ask questions. But anybody that has concerns about them can remove it off the consent calendar. So that's how that works. With that, we will move to the last bill of the day, House Bill 1111, an act to clarify and repeal certain redundancies in the provisions relating to the sale of substandard milk. House Bill 1111 is now open for public hearing and proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Rich Engels from District 9 in Hartford. And this is the first time I've had the honor to testify in front of the Senate Ag Committee, and in all likelihood, probably the last. I don't generally delve into ag issues up here. But I've heard said a number of times in the halls of the legislature that if we're going to put laws on the books, we ought to consider taking some off the books. And I took that to heart this year and brought about six different bills that repeal things that I think are outdated or lived their usefulness. And House Bill 1111 is probably the most simple of any of those that I've brought. In Chapter 39-6, if you look at that bill, there's two statutes that essentially say exactly the same thing. So House Bill 1111 repeals one of those statutes, 39-6-6, and the other statute, 39-6-20, LRC is only making some form and style changes, but I think that they put that on there just so that you could compare the two all on one page and see that they really do say that exactly the same thing. So I'm just asking that you support the bill to repeal one statute and take it off the books, and that's really all it does, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? I'll tell the Madison fourth graders, it usually doesn't go this well. I'll open to questions from the committee. I'll start out, Senator or Representative Engel, do you have any idea why the redundancy, how that got on the books in the first place?
The two statutes were put on the books at different times. And I suspect that, 39-6-20 was brought on a little bit later, and it was a little more detailed, and I think they just overlooked the fact that there was already one on there and they didn't remove it at the time. So they came on at different times is about all I could tell you.
So there's no way that these apply to a different section of the, it's all applied to the same section of law?
Yes, it is. And if you look, 39-6-20 is a little bit more specific in that it refers to specific sections in the law. But those sections in the law are the only ones that deal with substandard milk. So they do the same thing.
Okay. Any other questions? Senator Bradford.
Just a comment. I'd like to thank Representative Ingalls for his diligence in this, because he has, you know, it doesn't take near as much time to have a bill written up as it does to find a bill that's outdated and no longer needed, which is I really think an outstanding achievement by Representative Ingalls. I think we all ought to admonish his due diligence, because I think this is a good thing that we can go home and say, you know, we didn't just pass laws, we did eliminate some of those unneeded ones. So I want to thank you.
So with that, we will move to comments. any other comments? Comments or action? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to pass.
Motion to pass by Senator Hansen, seconded by Senator Howey. Comments on the due pass motion? Senator
Hansen. I also compliment Representative Ingalls for bringing this forward. And it looks like, you know, they both go back quite a long ways. One of the things that we learned this year in the agency review of Game, Fish, and Parks is that's the one opportunity to go back and look at statute and modernize the language. And I just note that it's kind of interesting in, you know, the 39-6-20, the overstrike, I think it removes about 8 words and replaces them with 3. And that's, you know, that's just good wordsmithing, I think, which is used in the current philosophy of how we write bills, making them easier to understand. And so we're not only repealing an unused, unnecessary statute, but we're updating and improving what's left.
Any other comments? See, when I was the bill we're dealing with for the Madison fourth graders is dealing with substandard milk, and remind me when I was your age growing up, because we milked our own cows, and we didn't have grade A milk. And in fact, to this day, when I drink a glass of milk, I always leave about that much in the bottom, because that's where all the floaties ended up, at the bottom of the milk bucket. Any other pertinent comments? Senator Klocek, do you have a dirty milk story?
Yeah, we always fed that to the cats. We ate the rest, drank the rest.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion is do pass on House Bill 1111. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford?
Aye.
Garnas?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 9 ayes.
Motion carries. House Bill 1111 goes to the floor. Do pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
Motion consent
by Maher, seconded by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. House Bill 1111 goes to the floor. Do pass on consent. Well, with that, if there are no other announcements, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Valley.
I think we ought to have this group come more often because we get through the committee real quick.
That's, I agree. And before I act on that motion, I would ask the Madison fourth graders if you have any questions you want to ask anybody on this committee. Committee open to that?
Yeah.
You guys have any questions for us? Don't be bashful.
I know you guys have a lot more fun in your committee meetings than we do.
Sometimes. You got us on a good day. No mountain lions today.
I know one thing, they knew it was hard work, very hard work. And we know what you folks are doing here and here, and we appreciate it, and we know it's done. And we know it because we've done it, but at a much different level. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Any of the committee members have questions for the kids?
Just one thing I'll tell you, don't expect this kind of atmosphere on the floor.
See, Ag Committee, I think Ag Committee is a little different than most all the other committees in the Capitol, based on my years of experience, because it seems to me that, you know, we have the Democrats that are over here and the Republicans, and a lot of times they like to fight sometimes over issues that might not necessarily warrant a fight. But in the Ag Committee, it seems to me at least that I think all of the members on this committee are involved in agriculture, and so we look at things a little differently, and we tend to get along a lot better than some of the other committees do and the issues that we face, because we're all kind of in the same boat together. Anybody take exception with that? But I think that's
well spoken.
Yes.
Have
we what? You know, we didn't. We were a friendly bunch today. We passed every bill. We just had 3 bills left today, and they were all kind of simple things, and we passed them all.
In our legislative session, the senators were a little more friendly than the representatives.
That's true. That's true here, too.
I think that kind of holds true in the Capitol, too. We're certainly a lot smarter and better looking. Center Valley.
Just so you understand.
Senator Roden was a representative last year, so he's made a big transformation. I was a representative also last year. So,
Senator Valley and I and Senator Howey were representatives last year, and this and Senator Bradford. And when we left the House of Representatives and come to the Senate, the average IQ of both chambers increased. So you guys think about that for a while. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to tell our friends that are with us today that when I first got in the legislature 9 years ago, my leader at that time was describing, I came into the House at that time, and he was telling me the difference between the House and the Senate. And he said the House is like a rock concert. You have twice as many people there. They want to get up and they want to speak, and it takes almost twice as long to pass a bill on the floor. And then he said the Senate is like a symphony, that they're much more cordial to each other, and it's not near as robust as what the House floor debates are. So, and I found that to be true most of the time. But once in a while, we do have a contentious issue. So.
Senator Howey.
Well, I just, in view of those comments, my observation is that the whole thing is more like a zoo. I wanted to just share with you the reason I voted that last bill on the consent is now we don't have to listen to any more floaty stories on the Senate floor.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Anything else before we adjourn? All in favor of the motion to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It was seconded by... Meeting is adjourned.